Amen. Go ahead and be seated if you would, please. Open your Bibles to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, and we'll look at verse 2. We started over the last couple of weeks in preparation for this election coming up, studying about the political platforms and comparing them to the Bible. And it says in Proverbs 29 and verse 2, make sure you give me a countdown back there. Thank you. Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Authority comes from you and I going and voting at the polls. Not only do we pray, not only do we use our faith, but we also become educated as to where these different parties stand and where the individuals stand, and make absolutely sure that where they stand at least lines up with the Word of God, with the Bible. And so my assignment has been, as it has been over these last years, going back to looking at the two political platforms. I've been reading them, studying them, going back over them. And they're important to us to study because we're able to identify where each one of these parties stand. And far too often, people don't read these documents. They skip over them or don't read them at all. And they say a lot. There's a lot in there. So we're able to identify where each one of the parties stands on specific issues. And then what we do is we compare it to the Kingdom of Heaven platform. That's the platform that we stand on. And see how the Bible compares to those issues. That way, we're able to better determine which platform aligns with how the Kingdom of God operates. It's that simple. It really is pretty simple. And so we have to pay attention to the platforms. As I shared with you last week, first of all, God knows what's on those platforms. He's read them. He's gone through them. And He'll hold us accountable for them. This is serious kingdom business. Second, they're written by we the people. These platforms were written by individuals from every state in the union. And their representatives that form these platforms, and from the abundance of their hearts, the parties speak. It's very clear. It's very clear which this one, where this one stands, where this one stands. And so, thirdly, the politicians will be making decisions on our behalf based on the platform where they stand and they embrace and the agendas that they have. The platform is the driving agenda for the legislation that's coming up. It's what they're going to push to accomplish over the next 4 years. And what is pushed to be accomplished over the next 4 years has long-term effects and long-term results. So you and I need to wake up. We need to wake up to what they're saying. That's why I'm taking the time to do this, to focus on this. As we get ready to go to the polls and vote, October 3rd in the state of Texas is the deadline for registration. We have a booth out in the lobby where you're able to get the registration card, fill it out, send it in, and then when you go vote, you can do the same thing that I do. I worship in the voting place. I worship in the voting booth. And I set my nation before the Lord because we're declaring a righteous nation. We're declaring a godly nation. We're declaring a nation of biblical values. That is what we are believing for in spite of everything that you and I are seeing around us. Last week, we talked about the platforms and compared them to their stand on abortion. And the division is very clear between where the two stand. Today, what I want to do is I want to talk about where do they stand where Israel is concerned. Israel is extremely important when it comes to our nation supporting that nation. It is so crucial that we know where each one of these parties stand and then look at where the Bible stands on this. So where does the Democrat Party stand on supporting Israel? Let me read to you what they wrote. Democrats believe a strong, secure, and democratic Israel is vital to the interest of the United States. Our commitment to Israel's security, its qualitative military edge, its right to defend itself, and the 2016 Memorandum of Understanding is ironclad. I won't read to you the Memorandum of Understanding, but I did print it out yesterday and went through it and got an understanding of what that was saying. Two, Democrats recognize the worth of every Israeli and every Palestinian. That is why we work to help bring an end to a conflict that has brought so much pain to so many. We support a negotiated two-state solution that ensures Israel's future as a Jewish and democratic state with recognized borders and upholds the right of Palestinians to live in freedom and security in a viable state of their own. Red flags go up when you start talking about a two-state solution and moving and shifting borders. Now keep that in mind as we continue to read. Democrats oppose any unilateral steps by either side, including annexation, that undermine prospects of two states. Democrats will continue to stand against incitement and terror. We oppose settlement expansion. So that's where the Democratic Party stands, where Israel is concerned. Where does the Republican Party stand on supporting Israel? Like the United States of America, the modern state of Israel is a country born from the aspiration for freedom and stands out among the nations as a beacon of democracy and humility. Beyond our mutual strategic interests, Israel is likewise an exceptional country that shares our most essential values. It is the only country in the Middle East where freedom of speech and freedom of religion are found. Therefore, support for Israel is an expression of an Americanism and is the responsibility of our government to advance policies that reflect America's strong desire for a relationship with no daylight between America and Israel. We recognize Jerusalem as the eternal and indivisible capital of the Jewish states and call for the American embassy to be moved there in fulfillment of U.S. law. Now, the Republican Party platform is the same platform that was written in 2016. They had another one that was written for 2020, but they could not vote on that because of their rules and regulations. They were not able to gather together to vote on that. So we're standing still on the 2016 version of this. So to make a note, on May 14th, 2018, the United States officially opened their embassy in Jerusalem 70 years to the day that President Harry Truman recognized the State of Israel. America was the first to do that. Praise God. The Republican Party platform goes on to say this: we reaffirm America's commitment to Israel's security and will ensure that Israel maintains a qualitative military edge over any and all adversaries. We support Israel's right and obligation to defend itself against terror attacks upon its people and against alternative forms of warfare upon it legally, economically, culturally, and otherwise. We reject the false notion that Israel is an occupier and specifically recognize that boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, BDS, is anti-Semitic in nature and seeks to destroy Israel. Therefore, we call for effective legislation to thwart actions that are intended limit commercial relations with Israel or persons or entities doing business in Israel or in Israeli-controlled territories in a discriminatory manner. Now, a note on that one: as of 2020, 32 state legislatures have passed bills similar to the Israel Anti-Boycott Act, which is still in Congress. It needs to be moved through Congress. The United States seeks to assist in the establishment of comprehensive and lasting peace in the Middle East, to be negotiated among those living in the region. We oppose any measures intended to impose We oppose any measures intended to impose an agreement or to dictate borders or other terms, and we call for the immediate termination of all U.S. funding of any entity that attempts to do so. You're seeing the difference there. The two-state solution versus no borders, no funding of any entity that attempts to do so. Our party is proud to stand with Israel now and always. So we've looked at the two parties and what they've said. Now, what does the Bible say about Israel? Where does the Bible stand on Israel? You can write these scripture references down. I'm going to give you five. There are many more, but I'm going to give you these five. And these five are so important when we're talking about voting and what party we're going for and where they stand. Of course, first of all, Genesis 12:3, the NIV translation, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. That is so clear. We want to bless Israel. Amen. We want to be a blessing to the state of Israel. In Genesis 17:7, I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now are an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. So we see here, the land belongs to the Jews. In Isaiah 41:11-12, all who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you'll not find them. Those who war against you will be as nothing at all. In Zechariah 2:8, Amplified Translation, for thus says the Lord of hosts, after his glory had he sent me his messenger to the nations who plundered you. For he who touches you touches the apple or the pupil of his eye. In Joel 3, and this one is so important. This one is crucial. When we're talking about land for peace, giving up land, which we have seen has been a failure over all of these years. It says in Joel 3, Amplified, I will gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and there will I deal with and execute judgment upon them for their treatment of my people and of my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, and because they have divided my land. That is a huge flare to us, that when you hear about any nation or any government endeavoring to divide the land, they are going directly against God's word. Totally opposed to the word of God. There are two criteria by which any nation is judged. Number one, by the way they treat the people. And number two, what they do about the land of Israel. This is a stern warning. It's a stern warning to both parties concerned where Israel is. There is, and we found this out and we've seen it over and over and over again. And our government needs to wake up to it. The Democrat Party and the Republican Party, they need to wake up to this. They need to connect the dots. They need to see that there is a direct connection between U.S. Middle East policy decisions and catastrophic events. There's a book written by the man by the name of William Koenig. I had the privilege of meeting him in New York early in 2016 when Pastor Terry and I and a number of us were there with 1,000 ministers being introduced to Donald Trump, the candidate. And I was standing at our table, turned around, And Billy Brim introduced me to William Koenig. I had read his book over and over again, Eye to Eye. Eye to Eye. And his book, the books that he has, document the connections between what our government has done to Israel and how we have suffered because of it. The book is called Eye to Eye, Facing the Consequences of Dividing Israel. And one major example, and I'm going to give you this one, it's so important for you to know this. One major example that he gives us is the evacuation of Israelis from the Gaza Strip and Hurricane Katrina. Do you realize there's a connection between the two? And every time something is going on in our nation, Pastor Terry and I talk to each other. What is the State Department doing to Israel now? What are they planning now? What's going on behind the scenes now? So let me take you through this. It'll just take a few moments. But this is fascinating. It's interesting, but it's also very sobering. On August 22nd, 2005, President Bush honors the veterans of foreign wars at the National Convention in Salt Lake City. And I quote his speech. In the heart of the Middle East, a hopeful story is unfolding. After decades of shattered promises and stolen lives, peace is within reach in the Holy Land. The Palestinian people have expressed their desire for sovereignty and peace in free and fair elections. This past week, Prime Minister Sharon and the Israeli people took a courageous and painful step by beginning to remove settlements in Gaza and parts of the West Bank. The Israeli disengagement is a historic step that reflects the bold leadership of Prime Minister Sharon. We are providing $50 million in direct assistance to the Palestinians for new housing and infrastructure projects in Gaza. There's so much that can be said about that. There's so much that can be said about $50 million going to Hamas, a terrorist organization. They didn't use that money for new housing. They didn't use that money for infrastructure. They used that money for funding terrorism over their enemy, Israel, building tunnels. Tunnel after tunnel after tunnel to get into Israel, doing things, horrible things, sending over these flammable weapons that will just float over into Israel and just start burning the land. It's horrible what they've done. We can go on about that, but keep this in mind. He said, the Israeli disengagement is a historic step that reflects the bold leadership of Prime Minister Sharon. That was August 22nd, 2005. Israel's disengagement, evacuation, and eviction took place between August 17th and the 23rd. On Tuesday afternoon, August 23rd, Tropical Depression 12 formed. By 11 o'clock in the morning, Wednesday, August 24th, the newly formed Tropical Depression was upgraded to Tropical Storm Katrina. By 5 o'clock on Thursday, August 25th, Katrina had become a hurricane. On Friday, August 26th, Hurricane Katrina hit southeast Florida. On Monday, August 29th, Katrina had become a fierce and enormous Category 4 hurricane that hit Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama, devastating the city of New Orleans. It is now being called the largest natural disaster in U.S. history. On Wednesday, August 17th, Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon authorized the mandatory evacuation of residents refusing to evacuate Gaza. On Wednesday, September 7th, New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin ordered the mandatory evacuation of the crippled Crescent City. Soldiers had to force out some of the holdouts. Israeli settlers stated that the Gaza and Samaria evictions will go down as the worst abandonment of Jews in history and the largest forced evacuation in Israel's history. Katrina resulted in the largest mass migration and evacuation in U.S. history. 9,000 Israelis were evicted by their government. 1 million Americans were evicted by Hurricane Katrina. At the same time, Israelis were going homeless in the Gaza Strip. Americans were going homeless in the United States. Now, the current governing authority over the Gaza Strip is Hamas. They're a terrorist organization that their charter, which began in the 19th century, refuses to recognize Israel. Their charter calls for the total destruction and annihilation of Israel. It makes you wonder, what are they thinking? What is going on in their minds to make such decisions as this? So you see, that is one of the reasons why Kenneth Copeland Ministries, Eagle Mount International Church, Kenneth Copeland Bible College supports Israel with all of their hearts. At the opening of the embassy, Brother Copeland was there. He was present in full support of what was taking place and what was going on. And how important it is. Katrina is only one example of what happens when a nation turns on Israel and begins to divide up the land and shift the people and move the people all around. That is such a blatant example of what happened in America at that time. That's why we support Israel. That's why we do what we do. That's why it's important to vote for a party that will not divide the land. There's so much that we're doing where Israel concerns. And so this morning, I've asked Pastor Terry and Julie Cerrone if they would come and just share with us the things that are taking place with our church, some things that you may not even know about, that you may not even recognize. But it's important for you to know that we stand with Israel. Would you give these ladies a great hand?
Praise the Lord. Julie Cerrone is our liaison to Israel and to the Jewish community here and abroad. And the Lord has favored her and anointed her, equipped her to reach into communities, into everything from secular Jewish communities to the Orthodox, even the ultra-Orthodox communities, which is really big. A big phrase in the Bible is, especially as you see the day approaches. There were things that weren't as critical years ago as they are now. And even the Trump administration, though doing some wonderful, marvelous things for Israel, is still leaning towards the ideology of a two-state solution. But we do know that there are people around him that are talking to him about the importance of not doing that and getting the word to him. So we are praying and believing in that those who don't believe that way are moved out of the way so that he can stand firmly on the word of God and realize that as the day approaches, these things are critical because God is bringing his people home and he wasn't kidding. He wasn't kidding. So a number of the things that Kenneth Copeland Ministries is doing, I'm going to let Julie read some of these real quick and I'll help.
And tell just a little bit about what Julie does for us as our liaison.
I'll let Julie tell it. She'll tell it better than me.
Let Julie tell it.
Good morning. I'm very blessed. The job that I have here is my heart's desire, and that is to build relationships with the Jewish community here in the DFW area, as well as in Israel. And it's humbling. It's put me in places with people that I could have never made happen on my own, from Orthodox Jewish homes to very secular Jews, but the
political government, we have connections. We've had the Consul General in Houston last week give us a call, want to talk with us.
Yes. So God's favor is on it. And the Lord is doing something to bridge the gap between Christians and Jews. And he's using us to do it. And, you know, when you put your money where your mouth is, they're constantly reassessing their thoughts about Christians when they see that we come and we don't have ulterior motives and we just are called to love and to bless them.
We're not there to try to convert them. I had one Jewish man say to me, he said, "So, are you just going to try to convert me?" I said, "Oh, Charles," my favorite story. "Oh, Charles, I'm not the converter. All I'm here to do is to love you and to point you to the book. Point you to the book. And you get on your covenant, and what God does between you and him is his business." And this is catching their attention. They are stunned and amazed to the love of God that we have shown to them instead of taking them by the throat and telling them they're going to hell. Nobody really starts off really warm and fuzzy when you do that, especially for a people that are in love with the Word and are in love with God as far as they know. So we have the opportunity to get into places to bless them, and this is making way for us. So Julie, go ahead. We'll go off and on this together.
Okay. For 2020, we are giving towards the Western Galilee Medical Center. It's a hospital on the border of Lebanon. They currently have 4 COVID units that they have that they're taking people in.
Yeah, they also have taken in people from Syria and Lebanon and those areas, which is amazing. And they have actually snuck into those countries to rescue civilians that are in enemy territory. Not Jewish civilians, but Arab civilians, and bring them in to treat them and to help them and then help them get back safely. It's an amazing thing that they're doing.
And their director just put when the explosion in Beirut happened, their director reached out to the president of Lebanon and offered their services. Now, through official channels, they didn't respond, but
yeah, we don't know. But. So then the Haifa Home for Holocaust Survivors. There are still Holocaust survivors, many of them in Israel, but many are very, very poor. The state's support is minimal in what they are able to do. And so this Haifa Home gives them a place, and we are supporting that home and helping them refresh that and making it more suitable for these Holocaust survivors. And so that their last days, bless the Lord, are not reminiscent of the Holocaust, praise the Lord. City of David.
The City of David is the most amazing archaeological discovery.
Here's our picture of all of us there. So, yeah, go ahead. Oh, I can't hardly see. This road that you see us standing on is the road between the Pool of Siloam to the temple where the sacrifices and the altar was. It is the road where Jesus would have said, "Come unto me, all that are thirsty, and I have waters, living waters, to give to you." This is a part of that road, and that's probably just a little, maybe a quarter of the width of the road, and they know for an absolute fact that this is that road. So the work that the City of David is doing is critical to proving to the world that this is Israel, it belongs to Israel, that the Bible is true, and of course all the things that they uncover and the process. It wasn't just the road they were looking for. Mm-hmm. So a lot of wonderful things there. Holy Land Missions, Julie.
So Stephen Curry, some of you remember, he spoke here a few years ago. He is an Arab Christian pastor in Bethlehem. And what makes him stand apart from most of the pastors in Bethlehem is he's pro-Israel. And so what I find very fascinating about, they do a food delivery program for the poor Christians in Bethlehem, but they've also identified at-risk Muslim families. And they're feeding them in the name of the Lord. And the reason they've targeted these families is because they're at risk. They're because of hunger and need, that the Palestinian Authority would try to exchange food or money for terrorism.
And so if you're willing to sacrifice one of your children to be a suicide bomber and he gets to go to heaven and have all these wonderful things by being a bomber and blowing up Jews, then we'll give you thousands of dollars to pay you for the rest of your family and for the rest of your life. So they target those families with food and supplies to keep them from being swayed into that terrorism group.
Next, we have Israel Layad, and many of you know Ronnie Levy. He's spoken here many, many times. He is feeding the poor near his community. They take them Shabbat meals. But the other thing that Ronnie does is they have, they have identified at-risk Ethiopian youth. So the Ethiopians that come back into Israel, they move from Ethiopia directly to Israel, and it's such a huge culture shift that these kids have a hard time acclimating and, you know, getting used to a completely different culture. That they target these kids and do after-school programs with them and try to get them the skills they need to be able to go to college.
That's a great work. Then the fire trailers. This is a great story. You might remember that back almost about a year ago that we sponsored 11 fire trailers in Israel as the kite bombs were coming into the farmland and destroying acres and acres of critical food production. Israel not only, they're so productive there that they're not only feed Israel, but much of the Middle East and a lot of Europe is fed from Israel, that little strip of land. And so the Muslims were there on the Gaza and other areas, send in fire bombs, fire kites over that would drop into those fields. And so they couldn't get fire trucks into these areas. So these fire trailers that we purchased, they were able to hook them up and drive them straight to the fires and put them out. But now, with COVID, they have transferred those same fire trailers that you purchased, and they now put disinfectant in it, and they spray down playgrounds and outdoor areas to prevent COVID infections. And so, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That makes me want to cry every time I see that. Now, this one, I will try not to cry. For 8 years, I went to France, in Nice, France, with Pastor Marie Hulaine. And I went to minister there in their prayer conference. It was a great honor to do that. But more than once, my messages wound up being about Israel. And some of the most fervent and strong messages that I've had about Israel and their right to the land and being God's people were there in France. Who knew that France would become one of the most anti-Semitic nations in Europe? Some of the first activities against Jews among French people happened there in Nice. In fact, there's some terrorism there that happened. You may remember the man who drove through the whole one of the streets and just wiped out people was right under the hotel window where Pastor George and I stay. My heart has been to bring Jews home. I love having Jewish people welcome in our nation. It's the blessing to a nation when you welcome them. The only thing that's greater than welcoming them into your nation is to help them get back to theirs. Because that's the will of God. That's the plan of God. And when you help them get there. You help them when they arrive there. That term of going back to the nation is called Aliyah, and it means going up. So wherever you're coming from, it wouldn't even matter if you were coming from a high mountaintop, you were going up to Jerusalem. You're going up to Israel because it is a nation elevated in the spirit because God said that it would be. Well, we just a few weeks ago make contact with some people who are wanting to fund an airplane load of French Jews to go home
to Aliyah, and they didn't have the money. We're paying for that jet, that jumbo jet, to bring. French Jews back to Israel. We will get them there, and our funds will help them in their first days of being assimilated, and that transfer. You can imagine, you know, coming to a nation, even if you've got financial means, what it takes to relearn your life and your career, teach your children another language, a different culture. And so they are going to be there to help them. And we are able to fund that. And that has opened doors for us with a group of people that historically have not been open to working with Christians at all. But they heard about us. And they not only were so moved and so excited about what we were doing, they have opened a door for us to be able to get into Israel, to bring the funds, and to do work in Israel, to help put Jewish people to work, tour guides, bus drivers, etc. So they're letting us go in and do a virtual tour, which you will be able to see in not too long, the weeks to come. And it will be putting people to work that have not had work since February of this year. There has even been some so in such despair over what's happened that it's been life-threatening to many of them. And so we are thrilled that we get to be a part of this. You are a part of this. You can claim the blessing for your household. You can claim the blessing for our nation as we bless the people of Israel and we bless the land of Israel.
One thing I was just going to add to that is I was telling Pastor Terry, not only are we paying for their luggage and their visa fees and their flight to Israel, but we're helping with the first year of their life. And I said, you know, it just strikes me that that's who Brother Copeland is. Whenever he gives a gift, mm-hmm. he doesn't just give it part way. He makes sure that it's the full supply and that there's enough. Yeah. And so I thought,
this is marvelous. And you know, we have a night to honor Israel this year with all the stuff that's been going on, but we continue to bless Israel. We won't let that stop us. So this is a really big event of what we're doing. And I believe it's going to open doors. In fact, because they check us out, you know, they don't let just anybody in and just because you have money. We've actually, early on, we have people, Jewish communities say, we don't want your money. So it isn't money that buys your way in. So they check us out, and some have gone back and listened to Night to Honor Israel and the speeches that I've been able to do here and in other places. And now they want to hear what we have to say. Oh, yeah. Well, one last thing to mention, of course, we have Israel class at KCBC. This is a high level Israel class. It's unlike anyone that I know of anywhere, especially at universities, because there are Arab countries, Saudi Arabia especially, that is buying out the Middle East departments in our universities across this nation. So if you have Middle East studies in the major colleges across the campuses, they are likely going to be pro-Palestinian, anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, and they actually teach them how to be activists against Israel. So this Israel class is outstanding. Of course, CUFI, Daughters for Zion, our USA Israel Club, we're doing a lot of things. And then a tour, 2020. Go ahead, Julie, tell them about our tour.
Well, we're working on getting a tour, the next KCM Israel tour to be in 2022. And something else, which Pastor Terry doesn't even know, is that this mid-October, there's a Jerusalem prayer breakfast. Normally, it's been happening in June, and it's been in person. I think I've been at every single one. This year, however, it's virtual, and they have asked our very own Terry Copeland Pearsons to do a 10-minute video.
Wow. Listen, y'all pray. That's awesome. This is to Knesset members and rabbis and Jewish and Christian ministries in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Thanks for the warning, Julie.
So I wanted you to know what we are doing, what you are doing to support Israel, the blessing of the Lord. When you bless Israel, you are blessed. And so receive that blessing from the Lord right now. Father, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, for what you've allowed us to do, places you've allowed us to go, all together, all of us together. Why don't we all stand up? Stand up right now. And Terry, pray over the peace and the oneness of Jerusalem. We will not divide that
land. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we stand in faith as American citizens to claim that the eyes of this nation are opened to your blessing and the blessing of blessing Israel, and to preserve them as a people and to preserve the land that you said was theirs forever and ever. And the borders that you recognize forever and forever. And that you are Israel's defender forever and ever. It's people, it's land, and of course, it's covenant. We are privileged to be grafted into that covenant, Lord. And because of that, it is our honor, it is our pleasure, it is our obligation to bless the people that you gave it to. Jesus came to us through that blessed covenant, and so we bless them. We bless the land, and we bless our nation for all that it has done and all that it has done right to stand. And we ask for your mercies, Lord, for people with the best of intentions who did not know, who meant to bless Israel and were afraid, Lord, but you helped them. And we're praying over our president. We pray over our State Department. We're praying over our Congress. We pray over our governors and state legislatures for what they say and what they do about Israel matters as well. And we're asking, Lord, for a sweeping move of your hand to open their eyes so that judgments will not fall against us, but will fall, Lord, in our favor. That we are on the blessing side of the covenant.
That's right.
So today, Lord, as American citizens and as Christians, we bless you, Israel. We bless you, Israel. The people, Israel, the land, we bless you. And we say, may you prosper. May you be in health. May you prosper as your soul prospers. And may your eyes awaken to your covenant, to your God, and to the coming of your Messiah. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Praise.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Julie, thank you for what you're doing. Give her a great hand. Amen. Terry, won't you stay with me? Pastor Bobby, if you would come. Those of you who need prayer for anything today, Pastor Bobby, would you give them instruction?
Praise the Lord. Right outside this north entrance, there is the middle school room. John Brazier, you in the building. There he is, the man waving in the back. Just go right through those doors. Go a little further, and there'll be somebody to direct you.
Just past the passage.
That's
okay,
right.
If you pass through the hallway, just past the passage on your right, there'll be the middle school room. And I told you earlier that God wants to move where healing is concerned in this body of believers today. I encourage you to go. If you have anything in your body that needs to be ministered to, go over there today and let John and the team minister to you, pray for you, pray for your loved ones. Some may be dealing with COVID in your family. Go over there and let us pray. We have seen miraculous things happen where that nasty thing is concerned. I don't care how big, bad, and hairy the media says it is. Jesus is Lord.
Yes, amen.
Jesus is Lord. Don't forget that.
Amen. Pastor Bobby, thank you so much. Be sure to tune in tonight beginning at 6 o'clock.
Victory Thon
starts.
Victory Thon. That's going to be a wild night. Jesse, oh my goodness, he called yesterday, fired up and ready to go.
Ready to go.
Brother Copeland's ready to go. We're ready to go. Don't miss any of it. You can record it now on Dish or Direct or Glory Star, Roku, Facebook Live, YouTube. You can find us all up. You could put us on every room at television, every computer in the house on a different way. So be praying with us, agreeing with us, and come up here and pray with us. We are believing for some outstanding things.
Absolutely. Praise God. As we go today, remember this: God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is.